I am Jesse.
I am Sebastian.
And we are Death From Above, from Canada. And I guess Los Angeles now.
Why not?
Yeah, we're from Canada. We're from Toronto and Los Angeles.
We're bi-coastal.
Yes.
Or bi-co.
Bi-country.
Yeah. Bi-co.
Did one of you move, or what's that about?
I moved, like, 6 years ago.
Yeah. Sebastian moved. Hello. I did have an apartment in Los Angeles, when then I moved back to Toronto. Mm-hmm. I left it.
You've already played some gigs in Germany. How has it been going? Has Germany been nice to you?
Germany are great. They, yeah, real rock fans here. When they're not moshing around, they're listening. Although I did see one or two people yawning.
Maybe they were tired.
Well, obviously.
I yawn. I sometimes yawn when I've had a lot to drink.
So you don't think Germans are especially tough crowd?
No, they're easy.
Oh, no. No, there's a lot more difficult places. Like in Japan, they when you're playing the song, they're really into it, and everyone's dancing around. As soon as the song's over, they just stop. And then it's so quiet, you could hear this in talking. And we don't know what to do. And it becomes very uncomfortable. Okay.
No applause, anything?
No, they'll applaud, and then...
Yeah.
Just nothing. And it could be in like an arena and it's dead quiet. Okay, so let's start the next song.
I hear a guy coughing in the back.
That sounds very polite.
Yeah, it is. It is very polite, but on the stage it is very confusing.
Tonight you support at the Drive-In. How did that come about? Are you friends, fans, label mates?
They asked us. I think this was the third time they've asked us if we could tour together. And the other times we already had our own tours booked. And this time, I actually said, well, my daughter's birthday is on the 15th of February, so as long as the tour starts after that, we can do it. And then it started on the 19th. So it worked out fine.
Well, at the Drive-In with their new album have made a record that could easily have been the next one following, even though it's been 15 years between the albums. With you, it's been 10 years since you're between your first and second album. Have you also tried to pick up exactly where you left off?
I don't know if you have to try that much. I think if the music was honest and it was a reflection of you as a person, then whatever you make, you will come out through it. And I say that only because there's some music you hear and it's obviously just like people going through the motions in some way.
How have you perceived the development of the musical landscape in the 10 years that you were gone?
The rise of electronic music is a fulfillment of the DIY dreams that people had long ago. The reality is that making rock music is a middle class to upper class thing. You can't, you know, a poor person cannot go out and buy a drum kit, then rent a rehearsal space, or buy a Marshall stack guitar amp and a Les Paul. Now you've got $10,000 worth of stuff there. That's not something that, you know, a kid can do very easily. And if you want to press records, well, God, you've got to get thousands of dollars together to print this record and go to the recording studio and do all this stuff. Or the next generation of kids can use their mom's laptop and download cracked software and make music and then go on tour and perform it and express themselves. And they haven't had to spend any money, they haven't needed any space. And then releasing the records, I say in air quotes, releasing them digitally, there didn't cost anything to produce. So all the things that, you know, the young punk in me wanted is realized in a different way than I'd ever imagined. It is a good thing, and it's trickled down to affect how rock music, how things work for us as well. We have all the, now, like, we didn't even, social media didn't really exist when we started as a band. There was no way for us to communicate with people apart from playing shows and making records. Well, it does create a bit, I don't know, I don't want to sound too positive, but it's like, it also creates a soup of so much music being released, and of course not all of it will be great, and then you sort of have to pick through more junk to find the things you really like, but having the options is great. And also, it's like talking about this stuff is just an academic conversation. It's happening whether or not anyone likes it. It's like to be upset about it is the same as going outside and shaking your fist at the sky about the weather. You know, it's just what's happening.
But do you think it affects your work, your everyday work, or you're working on songs?
I mean, the reality is that we've been working in music the entire time, so it's not like we stopped making music and then we jumped in and went, oh my God, it's everything's so different. We've been making music the whole time, so it's been happening to us at the same time as it's been happening to the industry. So it's almost too, it's like watching a child grow up. You know, if the kid is in your home, or a dog, if the dog is in your home, you don't notice it's growing until you see pictures of it, right? So you don't really notice the difference in the industry until you start observing the past or talking about the past. But as you're doing it, it's just, this is the way it is.
Let's talk about your album. Outrageous Now is out for like half a year. Are you still happy with it when you think of it?
Yeah, I think because of the way it was actually probably the quickest record we've ever made. You know, the debut record is, in a certain sense, it's ideas you've had for a very long time. And perhaps we were out playing those songs for a long time, and then we made it, and then the physical world, it took us a long time to write it, took us a really long time to record it, then took a really long time to release it, and so the time frame was just almost abstract. And then this record, it really feels like there were ideas floating around, and we were writing for a little while, but the record really came together in the matter of a few months, and the recording was very quick as well.
And then it came out
pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it
beginning to end on that record was really about like a year rather than 3 years.
Yeah.
Like from the time that we start writing to the time that the record was in everybody's hands. And that for us is much, much faster.
By the time Freeze Me was on the radio, and it was, I think Outrageous Now and Freeze Me were the two last songs we wrote for the record. And so those ideas were still new ideas to me, fresh ideas. And so when you're hearing them or you're playing them live, they still mean something.
They
mean the same thing, right? When we're playing songs from the first record, those songs mean a totally different thing to me.
Was this totally on purpose, but or also, a result of the developments we talked about, that you can put out stuff faster, or did you want to?
It was just circumstantial. I think the last record took a really long time because of people we were working with. Just, you know, it was our first record on a major record label, and we were subordinate to them, which wasn't fun. Even though we were on a major record label this time as well, I think we just were able to push it through a little bit quicker.
I also think that there is evidence of the music, that sort of major label music industry adapting and trying to change to be more like how all of us can just operate independently. They're trying to keep up with the kids. It's pretty funny. They're getting a little bit better at it. They're not there yet, though, and they never will be.
Do you follow critical reception and reviews of your albums? Do you care what anyone says about it?
Absolutely not. I never look up anything about our band. I don't even really look at pictures of the band. But I also don't want anyone else's ideas to affect my creativity, because then it's not then I'm not creating for myself. I'm creating based on what I think somebody likes or what they don't like. I don't want to operate that way. Because then I'm
not... You're not checking the metadata?
it would be... How about this? Sometimes you hear bad music and you know that they were making it specifically to please some certain people.
And also, sometimes you're listening to bad music and you're imagining, thinking of them in the studio going, this is the best music that's ever been made.
Yeah.
Sometimes I imagine when I'm listening to a really good song, I imagine them being in the studio and thinking, holy shit, this is really good.
Are you like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've done that. We've definitely had that moment.
Dude, every single song we make, I go, man, this is the best song that's ever been written. Every one. Every moment of every song.
No, you don't, you understand what I mean. You don't want your creativity to then be hampered by other people's ideas, which are really just a reflection of all kinds of other things in their lives. Like maybe some guy, he hates some love song that he hears, but it's not because the song is bad. It's because it, at that moment in his life,
he's never hugged his father.
Maybe he just got, his dad doesn't love him, and it's been difficult, and so he just doesn't like those songs. And then he reviews your song, and he says, "Oh well, I don't like this." And he can make up all kinds of reasons why, but maybe the core is that you just can't relate to it, and that's not my fucking problem. It's like. I tickled myself there. That was enjoyable.
When it comes to the title, I ask myself what outrage you talk about. What outrage is now? Do you simply mean there's too much outrage about nothing these days?
I think that outrage is a fashion. It's like a cool pair of shoes that people are trying on. And it's also... it's the default reaction to most things. No matter what the news item is, someone's going to be upset about it. And when I was observing that impulse in myself, I became critical of it in myself first. Why am I upset about this thing? Why am I upset about everything? And if you go on social media, even the people, if you box yourself in into a little... silo or a little, echo chamber. Why are all these people that I admire and maybe know in person, why are they making me upset? Right? And then you go to a different realm, maybe news, and you go, well, why are they making me upset? You think, is the world that upsetting? Maybe it is. But is it upsetting now? Has it always been upsetting? Why are we making each other upset now? And so I started to question that position, and I'm skeptical of it. I'm skeptical of why I'm being made to be upset by the news and by my people I know. And I think we're all being manipulated into it. And I think there's a good reason for it, but we don't know what that reason is. So I'm very cautious to be upset about something that I have no control over.
You pose a lot of questions. Do you have answers to it?
No. I mean, you can only ask questions. The answers maybe will reveal themselves in time, but if you're giving sure answers about anything, you're probably not sure about what you're saying.
I think the answers are also going to vary. The answer for each individual is going to be different.
Absolutely.
Because it depends on your approach. But there's definitely, we seem to exist in a time where the people make a lot of money off of us being engaged. Like Facebook makes more money depending on how long you spend on the website. Now, if you're upset about something, you're going to spend more time looking at those things than if you don't really care that much, right? And then maybe if you don't care, then you can click away. But they actually make money off of you being on it for longer. So there's, and it's the same with the news, right? The news, they want you to not change the channel. So you've got to be engaged. And it's very easy to engage people if they're upset or scared. And so there seems to be, there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of ways for people to make money off of upsetting us and making us upset at each other. These are the questions that we've been asking, and that's what the title is about. And also, I realized there's an alliteration. There's like, with English, if you say outrages now, it also sounds like Outrageous now, right? And which I've just realized maybe lost.
You did realize that just now?
No, but I mean outside of not when you're not speaking, if your English isn't
sure, yeah,
the language you're not speaking all the time, you're just reading the name, not thinking, oh, this is also a bit of a play on words.